Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network.
Right here on the floor.
Bobby Jean Bell in Albuquerque is on a train headed toward her family for a much deserved Christmas break and New Year's celebration. And she's probably somewhere close to Chicago right now. So, hey to Bobby, if you're listening, and we look forward to having you back with us in January. This has been a fast year. And I just have no idea where it's gone, but we have a fast show today, and we have a great show. We're going to be joined by Mr. Guy Adams, who will be joining us from California with Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California, in the second hour. And then we're going to be talking with our good friend, Miss Belinda Gale, when we come back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe. But before we visit with her, let's take a listen to one of her great songs. It's one called He's Courtin' Annie, and we'll be back in a moment with Belinda Gale.
He's holding on to his cowboy coffee just to keep his hands warm. Stares into the campfire. He'll see his Annie soon. Now that the cattle drive is over, he'll pick up his pay feeling proud. Saddle up his favorite pony and ride into town. 'Cause he's courting Annie with a wildflower bouquet. When he gets to her gate, he'll hesitate. He won't ride away. 'Cause when he thinks of Annie, he's lucky, 'cause he's courting Annie. Then Camp Cookie fills his tin cup up and hands him his biscuit and beans. laughs when he hears about the cowboy's plans and points out the rip in his jeans. He'll have to spit polish his cowboy boots and dig out that old string tie. When the cowhands start to tease him, he'll just look up and smile, 'cause he's courting Annie with his hat in his hand. When he gets to her door, he'll wonder no more, and he won't ride away. 'Cause when he thinks of Annie and her wild blue yonder eyes, he knows he's lucky, 'cause he's courting Annie. Last summer she said that she might be his bride. He's gotta get back as soon as he can before she changes her mind. So he's courting Annie with a wildflower bouquet. When he gets to her gate, he'll hesitate, but he won't ride away. 'Cause when he thinks of Annie and her wild blue yonder eyes, he knows he's lucky, 'cause he's courting Annie. He knows he's lucky, 'cause he's courting Annie.
Belinda Gale is known as America's Western Sweetheart. She is a multi-award winner with the Academy of Western Artists as well as the International Western Music Association. And she's a good friend of ours. Please welcome Miss Belinda Gale. Hey, Belinda.
Hey, Gary. This is fun. What a way to wrap up the year, huh?
I'm telling you, has it been as fast for you as it has for me?
It evaporated this year, and it's been a momentous year. A lot of things happened this year, but it just, maybe that added to it, but I mean, when we hit December, I was like, how did this happen? It cannot be December already.
Gosh. Well, it is here, and it will be gone in just a couple more days. But
I know.
Yeah. Did you and Bob have a good Christmas?
You know, we did. I think you know that we, through a chain of events, you know, that whole crazy breakdown that happened last year with our you know, full-time RVers, that precipitated us starting to look for a house. But we thought we were going to probably wait until now to start looking for a house. But we ended up deciding to move to Texas. And so we moved in August to Texas in Magnolia, right outside of Houston. And so we had our first Christmas in a house. Since we've been married, we've never had Christmas in a house because we've always been at the Rose Parade during Christmas,
oh, yeah,
getting ready for the Rose Parade. So we've always had Christmas in the living quarters of our horse trailer.
Yeah.
And then in the RV. And then, I mean, we were never home to have Christmas in our home. So this was, we've been married 8 years, and this was our first Christmas in our home, and it was wonderful.
That is so cool. I think I saw on Facebook that you were up on top of a ladder decorating a tree or something. So.
I was happy and bedraggled as I could have been, because I'd been dragging out Christmas stuff and unpacking it, and I don't think I'd even brushed my hair, to be honest with you. Posted it on Facebook, and he's like, "Oh, I got lots of comments on that picture. You did not post that on Facebook." Well, I already did.
Gosh. Well, you know, us guys just don't care as much about hair and makeup, I don't guess, as the ladies do.
No, I'm not usually. I don't get all hung up about that, but you know, sometimes it's just bad. They go, "Oh, you look cute." No, I did not.
Gosh. Well, it's pretty cool that you got to spend your first Christmas in a home together, and it's a beautiful home out in Texas. So congratulations on getting to spend your Christmas together in a home. So did the dogs make it okay in a home for Christmas?
They did. They love it. They have a yard they can run around in now, because we couldn't we had to keep them on. If we put them outside, we had to put them on lead lines because they wanted to always go herd the horses.
Right.
And you can't have little mini Aussies out there nipping at the heels of horses. They're going to get killed. So we couldn't let them just run. So now they can just, they're fenced in, so they can just run. They have a nice yard to run in. So they like that, and they love running up and down the stairs. And they left all the Christmas ornaments alone, which I was thrilled. I was not sure what was going to happen with that, but they left all the ornaments alone. Not the shoes, but the ornaments got left alone.
That is so cool. So what kind of New Year's resolutions have you made?
You know what? I don't do New Year's resolutions.
Ah. Uh-uh.
I just don't, because they usually last about 2-3 weeks, and then you beat yourself up because you're not keeping your resolution. A few years ago, I ran across something on a Bible devotion that I was doing, and they just called it, you pick a word for the year that you want to focus on.
Right.
So you just pick it, like you want to be more self-disciplined, or you want to be more giving or more loving, or whatever you want more of in your life or you want to improve on. You come up with a word that kind of, and then that's just kind of your word for the year, and
yeah.
Kind of try to live up to that word. So that's, I can do that. I don't like breaking New Year's resolutions. I mean, there's things I want to accomplish in the next year. You know, always the losing the weight and all that, but it's not. I wouldn't call it a New Year's resolution at all.
Yeah, yeah. My New Year's resolution is just to get more exercise this year. And,
oh, there you go. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't care about losing weight. I don't need to. And I certainly don't need to put on any, but... yeah, just to get more exercise. So I think that cures a lot of ills that people have anyway, if they just get up and get out and go. So that's
fresh,
my nature.
Fresh air and movement. And you haven't been
that's
able to
right.
do that for a while because of your hip issues. So now that's all behind
that's
you.
That's taken care of.
Yes.
So I'm going to get
Absolutely.
Out and move and get back on my horses. So that's kind of exciting.
Very exciting.
Well, let's take a listen to another song, and we're going back in time just a little bit. And this is one called Fair Blows the Wind. I think you did this with Wild Wind, didn't you?
Yes, that was when I still had my band, and that's a Gary Prescott song. And his wife sent it to me. It had never been recorded yet, and they allowed me to be the first one to record it. And when I heard it, it was a bunch of verses. There was no bridge in it, and I heard a bridge. And so I called and asked him if I could change one of the verses into a bridge. And he said, well, he was kind of tentative. He was so cute. He says, well, wife, what do you have in mind? And so I sang it for him, and he goes, well, I like that. And he was still tentative. And I go, well, if you don't like it, I won't do it. I'll just do it straight the way you said it. He says, well, are you going to want co-wrote instead of this? No, that's just a slight thing. Okay, go ahead. And then his wife did record it later, and she recorded it with my change. So I guess he liked it.
You did good. Well, this is Fair Blows the Wind. It is by Belinda Gale, and at the time her group was Wild Wind. Let's take a listen to that and come back and talk with more with Belinda Gale on the Campfire Cafe.
Across these wide plains, dear Lord, how he misses sweet Rose, the love of his life from fair Dublin town, this bonny young lass he loves so. He's lonesome tonight, out on the long trail, thinking of home and sweet Rose. Cattle are resting, the moon sinking low, but his mind is on Ireland and Rose. Singing Irish Rose, my sweet Irish Rose, across the ocean of blue. Fair blows the wind across these white plains, blowing my love back to you. wind across these white plains, thousands of miles from Sweet Rose. She cried when he left, "I'll be waiting for you." Then she kissed him and gave him a rose. Sing an Irish rose, my sweet Irish rose, across the ocean of blue. Fair blows the wind across these white plains, blowing my love back to you. There blows the wind across these white plains, he's thinking tonight of Sweet Rose, the love of his life from fair Dublin town, this bonny young lass he loves so. Singing Irish Rose, my sweet Irish Rose, across the ocean of blue. Fair blows the wind across these white plains, blowing my love back to you. Yes, fair blows the wind across these white plains, blowing my love back to you.
Belinda Gale and Wild Wind. I was talking to Mary Kay. She was with us on the show a few weeks ago, and I asked her how often she listened to Mary Kay, and she said, "I don't." But she said, "You know, I almost cried when I heard that last song. I think I'll go back and start listening to me again." So, how often do you listen to Belinda Gale?
I don't. I mean, unless my husband puts it on and plays it, I don't ever. I mean, I think when you get done in the studio with it, you've heard all of that so much, you're over yourself, I guess. I don't know. I just don't.
Well, you're in for a treat today because we've got a lot of Belinda Gale music we're going to be playing.
I see. But, this is interesting.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, when did you start with your music?
Oh, my gosh, Gary. Music was always a part of my life growing up. My mom loved to sing, and that's how she kept us entertained. And half the time we had a little television, but we couldn't get reception. And so in the evenings we would sing as a family. We never played instruments. It was always a cappella, you know, along with the radio or along with records, and we'd sing in the car. And I mean, singing was always there. And then when I started going to church, I started singing in church. But it was probably, I was probably in my late 20s when I actually started singing anything other than church. And
right.
Then I waited until my children were grown. And then that was just a little casual band that did fun, you know, parties and events, you know, local. And I had opportunity to do more with it and had someone actually approach me about, you know, going national and Nashville and the whole big thing. But my kids were little, and I just could not go off and leave my children. I just couldn't do it. And my husband was extremely supportive, and he was all for it. But I was just my mother's heart just wouldn't let me do it. So I just, you know, said no, and they were stunned and shocked. They couldn't believe I was turning them down, but I did. And then I had another opportunity when my youngest was a junior in high school towards the end of his junior year. So I knew it'd take a little while to get it rolling, and I knew he'd be off to college. So then I went ahead and started taking it national. I mean, actually looking at a national touring kind of a career instead of it just local in my community. So, but yeah, that's kind of that in a nutshell.
So how big a part did the Sons of the San Joaquin play in getting you started in Western music?
Oh, that it was huge. It was huge because I had a band, because I still didn't play an instrument, and I had a band, and we were doing country music, and I thought I was doing country western music, and I learned a song off of a Susie Box CD that I sang at a big event I was at in Pomona, and these gentlemen recognized the song, knew the lady that had written and recorded it in 1935, Patsy Montana. That's your song, I Want to Be a Cowboy Sweetheart. And they introduced me to her, and she said I should be singing Western, and I didn't. I'm like,
know the
am.
Difference.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
I didn't know the difference. And so she explained it to me, and I realized there was a difference. And then at the time, I was still had my doing my travel agent. I was a travel agent, and I was doing that part-time. And one of my clients were the Sons of the San Joaquin. And I just, you know, I knew it. They were out there singing, and I thought they were doing country western music with a little more cowboy flair. I really didn't understand the difference. And so I decided to go ahead and switch to western. I talked with them about it. I mean, the two of them lived in my hometown, so I met with them for lunch, and we talked about it. They encouraged me to pursue it, and so I decided to. But then I was going to head to my very first IWMA convention, and I wanted to make sure I was yodeling correctly. So Johanna helped me with my yodel to make sure that I was doing it right, because I was going to, like, you know, yodel heaven, and I wanted to make wasn't going to go show up and do it badly. And so he, when he heard me sing, he had never heard me sing at that point. When he heard me sing, he actually invited me to help them debut a duet with Jack at the IWMA convention, my very first one I ever went to.
Oh, wow.
And it went over. I was scared to death. I have to tell you, I was so terrified. And when I got there, I realized I was dressed all wrong, because I was dressed country, and that's a big difference, dressing country and dressing western, especially back then. I was dressed all wrong, and I didn't have a cowboy hat, and it was like, what? And so I was like, oh man, these people, I didn't know if I'm going to be able to fit in with this or not. I'm going to have to make some changes when I come back, you know, if I get to come back next year. And then here I come and step on the stage with their beloved and revered Sons of the San Joaquin on the big night show. And I mean, there was half the ladies in the audience were like, what is she doing up there? How come she's up there singing with it? I was so scared. I had this ruffly blouse, this one outfit that I saved that I figured would be appropriate for that night. And they were going to surprise everybody. Nobody knew. It was a brand new album. It had just been drop shipped there. Nobody knew about the song. Nobody knew that I was going to be singing with them. And the girls part comes in about halfway through the song. There's a little interlude, and then the girls part kicks in. And so they had me just like walk on stage, and they had a mic. I had a cordless mic. They had me just walk on stage during the interlude to start my part. Well, I mean, there was like you could feel this, like, what is she doing walking on the stage? And I walked on, and I'm like, oh, I better do good. But it went so well, and it was just, it was very well received. And they invited me to actually go on tour with them. And so then I could kind of get my feet wet. And this really was my very, very, very first ever Western anything, was this convention.
Right.
And so then I could learn the ropes, learn about Western music, meet the promoters, and then do the duet with Jack. And so for the next year, I toured with them all over the Western United States. And I have to say that probably leapfrogged my career by like 4 or 5 years. By being able to do that, because I met all the who's who that was in, because they're at all the major gigs, they're playing with all the major Western performers, so I got to know all of them. Then they heard me, so then if a promoter asked them, do you know about this Belinda Gill? Oh yeah, we worked with her at whatever, you know. So it was just a God thing. It was totally a God thing, and I think it was, for me, it was just God's rubber stamp of approval on my decision to go with this music, because my manager had quit as soon as I decided to go Western, and my husband had stepped in to try to see if he couldn't do that, and he did a great job ultimately. But yeah, it was, they were pivotal and very instrumental in getting my Western music career going. Absolutely.
Well, I'm thankful to them that they did. So I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And you've had a great career and continue to have one. But I want to play another song from Belinda Gale and Wild Wind, and this is one called Wild Sierras, and I really, really like this song. Let's take a listen to that and come back and talk more with Miss Belinda Gale on the Campfire Cafe.
He thought that he was ready to quit his running round. Thought that he'd try home life on for size. Now she was what I wanted. For her I'd settle down. But she saw the wild sierras in my eyes. I saw the wild sierras in his eyes. How'd she see those silver mountains reflecting in my soul?
Roger K was in my band. He'd grown up in a family band, so he was so fun to work with. He did a great job on that song.
How long did you have Wild Wind?
We were together as a band probably the first first 5 years that I was in Western music, and it took me that long to be able to get the guts to actually play the guitar by myself on stage. I mean, there just isn't the money in Western music that there is in some of these other genres. And so taking a band, my late husband told me that, he said, Belinda, if you're wanting to do this full time, you know, we're going to have to be able to book you out some by yourself. We can't always take the band. And we also ran into where they all had other jobs and other bands they worked with as well. I wasn't exclusively, have exclusive rights to them. And
right.
So we were get an offer for a gig and we couldn't take it because one of them couldn't make it. And then it wasn't uncommon for us to come home from a gig, and by the time we paid their expenses and paid them their, you know, their fee for being sidemen with me, they came home with money in their pocket and we came home in the hole, you know, so that doesn't work. So it just kind of was an evolution, and they realized that it just, you know, that I was more and more and more going further and further afield, and they were having, you know, they couldn't. And so as soon as I was able to, with my, to be able to hold my own with a, put on a show with just me and my guitar, and then the more people saw me with just me and my guitar, that's what they wanted to hire. So it just,
right,
it just evolved. It just evolved, and that happens.
When did Curly come into your life?
Curly, I met Curly in 99, and we actually became singing partners. We did a few gigs together in 2000, and then just became full-on singing partners by 2001. Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
we just committed to that, that to being, we were doing quite a, we did quite a few gigs together in 2000. And because we had a gig that both of the guys had to bail at the last minute, and it was a band gig, and it wasn't me, wasn't booked as just me. So I called Curly, and I'd met him at another gig, and we realized that we had a, in the jam, we realized that our voices blended really well. And I called and asked him if he could help me out and bail me out, because I didn't want to show up at the promoter with just me when it was supposed to be a band. And
right.
And they just, the crowd just loved it. He came in a couple of days early, and he did some, I did some, and then we worked up like three or four songs to do together and do it well at the show, and that, and it just, it clicked. And so my husband approached him and said, he talked to me first, of course, but, you know, would you consider you guys being singing partners? And so we tried it for a year to see how it felt, and it just went really well. And we were partners for 9 years until he passed.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, well, and of course we're talking about Curly Musgrave, and you just did a gig not too long ago that was that named after Curly, wasn't it?
Yes, the Curly's Cowboy Christmas. When the it's to benefit the Cooper Home, the Happy Trails Foundation that Roy and Dale started, and The museum always had a big event every Christmas to help raise funds for this foundation. And when they moved the museum to Branson, they were gonna stop that fundraiser. And Curly stepped in and said he'd been a big supporter of it, as actually my now present husband, he was as well. And he went to Dutch, the guy that ran it, and said, I'll do whatever you need. I'll help you with finances, you know, whatever. We'll just keep this going. And Curly came to him separately. They didn't know each other, and said, I'll get the talent to do this if you'll keep it going. I'll find people to come perform. And so they did, and they renamed it Curly's Cowboy Christmas because it was a different format than what they had been doing all along. And so we just, and after he passed in 2009, we just kept it going. And I took over finding performers that would be willing to come for just their expenses to come and do the fundraiser.
Well, that's great. That is great. So
it is.
That's
part of
so that's
legacy.
Been going on for at least 9 years. How many years now?
Oh gosh. I think he did it. He did it a couple of years before he and I got together. So it's probably Curly's Cowboy Christmas has probably been going on about 10 years. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, well, that is great. Well, we're going to fast forward just a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Almost 20, actually, because it was he was doing it before we started singing together.
Oh, really?
So, and he's been gone almost 10. So it's been almost 20 years that it's been going on as Curly's Cowboy Christmas. Yeah.
Wow.
I lose track of time. Talk about a year evaporating. Decades start evaporating on you. You know you're in trouble.
Gosh, yeah, I kind of have benchmarks that kind of help me keep up with things, but we won't talk about ex-wives or anything like that.
Oh, family show here.
Yeah, this is a family show. Well, I'm going to fast forward a little bit to more recent times and a great award-winning album, Granite Mountain, and this is a fun song that Belinda did on that album. It's called Don't Talk to Jake. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Belinda instead of Jake on the Campfire Cafe.
Don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now Jake, he is a mighty fine man, hardworking, fair and true. If you needed it, you know he'd give the shirt off his back to you. But now in pre-dawn light, if you see him without a cup of coffee in his hand, just turn and walk away if on your feet you'd like to stand. That poor little greenhorn kid unwound just like a sprocket as he walked right up to Jake with both hands stuck deep in his pocket. He fired off three questions as Jake was pulling on his boots. Jake sent him flying backwards like a calf out of the chute. Don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter's sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now Jake, he likes his coffee real sweet, unlike most cowboy style. Heaping spoonfuls, 3, 4, 5, made us wink and smile. One April Fool's, we came up with a plan we thought was clever. But when cowboys go to thinking, it can be a risky endeavor. We swapped the sugar for the salt when Jake's soundly sleeping. You'd think that we'd have known by now a whirlwind we'd be reaping. Oh, we was grinning ear to ear as Jake loaded up his Java. But frozen care as he erupted like molten spewing lava. Yeah, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter's sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now the rest gets kind of fuzzy, but there was blood and bones cracking. When we came to, that bunkhouse sure had suffered a ransacking. But it looked good compared to us, all bloodied, bruised, and broken. We sure enough picked the wrong cowboy for all our practical joking. We try to forget that fateful day, though we know Jake felt pretty bad. Gosh, he was more surprised than us when he went raving mad. It's legend round the bunkhouse, greenhorns asking for the story. None of us ever messed with Jake till his first cup of coffee. Yeah, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter's sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. That greenhorn kid, he pulled up stakes and left. Said this life is too rough. Jake, well, he always tastes the sugar now before he puts it in his coffee. Yeah, like we'd ever try that stunt again.
Don't talk to Jake.
That's a true story. Not about Jake, but my sister, when I was probably like in the fourth grade, maybe, I talked my two little sisters into helping me do that to my mom. And she was that kind of person where you don't talk to them till they've had their first cup of coffee in the morning. And oh my, we were peeking around the corner and she sat down at the little, I could still see one of those old timey, you know, laminated little kitchen tables, and she, oh, because she was so, she loved that first sip of coffee that she had in the morning. She took a big drink of coffee. She loaded it up with sugar and cream. She took a big drink of coffee and spit it across the whole table. And my mom had a mouth like a sailor. So she let some expletives fly, and we scrambled. We were on the run. She caught us, and every one of us got a spanking.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm kind of like Jake. I mean, I've had people that have called me in the morning, and I just don't answer the phone. If I haven't had one or two cups before I start a conversation, I am just not going there. So, yeah.
Not going
that is,
there.
That is too funny. That is too funny. Well, this is a great, great CD, and we've got quite a bit of music that we want to play from it. One of them is near and dear to your heart because you named your dog after this, and that's Apache Rose.
Yes, that was written by Bryn Hill, and it's a true story.
And Bryn is a great writer.
One of the best.
Always,
absolutely.
Always love having him on the show, but this is a great, great song, and let's listen to the song, and then we'll come back and talk about it just a little bit. But this is Apache Rose. It is from the CD Granite Mountain, and we're talking today with Belinda Gale on the Campfire Cafe.
Apache Mama gave her up when she was 3 weeks old. She didn't have a dime or any other place to go. So some white folks came and took her away to a house upon the hill. Now a little girl won't remember what the reservation will. Now she's living in a white man's world as a white man's little girl. When she looks in the mirror, she don't know how to feel. 'Cause she's pretty as a blood red rose, and I wonder if she'll ever know what a little girl won't remember is what a reservation will. What a little girl won't remember salvation will.
Apache Rose, Belinda Gale from the CD Granite Mountain. And yeah, that's quite a story. Quite a story.
That is a true story. The lady that cuts his hair. One day he happened to ask her about her heritage, and she told him that story. So he put it to music, as only Bryn can do. And I've loved it since the first time I heard it. Yep.
Guys. Well, it's a great song, and of course you named one of your miniature Aussies Apache Rose. You have a second Aussie now, don't you?
And actually, one of my fans actually named her Apache Rose, because we had picked her out. I posted a picture of her, and she was just, of course, a tiny puppy. And I said, now I just need to figure out a name. And one of my fans quickly came back, duh, Apache Rose. And so that stuck, and then she had a litter of puppies. She was three, right after she turned three, she had a litter of puppies, and we kept one of them, and we named her Taya, which is Zuni for precious.
Wow!
So we have Apache Rose and one of her babies.
That is too cool. Now,
it's our girl.
whose is the second one, or are they both everybody's?
Well, Apache was more definitively mine. She loved Bob too, but she was mine. So Taya was supposed to be Bob's. But about the time that the puppies got here, we were started looking at a house, and all the house stuff started happening. And so she ended up spending all of her time with me. But you know what? She does love Bob. Bob spends a lot of time with her. She's technically Bob's dog.
Okay. All right. Technically Bob's dog.
Bob's dog. Yes.
It's amazing how they become so attached to their people, and vice versa. Yeah. I've got an Aussie named Miss Britches, and I've had her almost 10 years now, and it's amazing because she just knows what's going on in my mind, and I'll look at her laying over somewhere in the house, and she'll just be staring at me. And if I make eye contact, she knows. Here she comes. She's ready for some attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing, the connection. I don't know if that's just an Aussie thing or what, but I've sure recognized that with her.
I think it's a dog, a canine thing, but because a lot of people's dogs are, you know, you hear that. But I think with Aussies, they're just very smart and very intuitive. So I think they just have that ability and that quality in spades. Because they're pretty phenomenal.
I've had many dogs of many different breeds over the years, and some that were non-breeds. But I don't think I've ever had one that just focuses on my face to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And like I say, if I make eye contact, here she comes. She's just ready for some loving.
They do. When you look at them, I mean, they do. They look like they're looking right into your soul, those dogs.
Yeah.
They're looking right into your heart, right into your mind, and they're just like deciphering what's going on inside of you. So they're pretty intense that way, but wonderful dogs.
They are.
Wonderful.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and here we are on Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we're talking about dogs. Can you believe that?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, they go with horses and cattle, and, you know, that all kind of wraps in together because they're great cow dogs.
They do. I think most horse people are dog people as well. And that's a pretty cool thing. We're going to play the title cut from the CD Granite Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And, tell us the story about the song.
I'll make it brief because it can go on a bit. But basically, we moved to Arizona, right to the base of Granite Mountain, And when we did, sorry, my dogs are going crazy. They must see a deer. But when we did, I just fell in love with the mountain. It was majestic and gorgeous and right behind our home. And I started writing a song about it. And I just never could quite finish it. It didn't feel finished anyway. And so I went ahead and just kind of put it away, which you have to do sometimes, just
right.
Put a song away or like any kind of piece of art and let it kind of percolate a little bit and then see, you know, where you land with it. And I had it kind of put away, and I was on tour in Colorado, and the Dosey fire broke. And my husband and I talked about it. I was on tour, and it was very scary, but he was able to get all the animals out, and our house was safe, and the hot shot crew that cut the swath behind our house, that's one of the main things that saved our house, besides them dumping, you know, all of the that red stuff, the slurry that they dump all over, that was all over our house. So they saved our house, and just a few days later, I was able to come home. We couldn't get into the house yet, but they escorted us in with a deputy to get some things that I needed. And that hot shot crew, I got to actually meet them that cut that swath. I got to shake their hand and thank them for saving our home, and it was really amazing. And my husband and I were so struck with how young they all were. But then we had to leave. And, I mean, one of them even, I was trying to water some of my poor plants because it was in the summer. It was June in Arizona. And but the deputy was saying we had to leave, and so one of the young men said, he said, "I'll take care of that. I'll water your plants for you." So he was watering my plants as we drove off, and so I was headed out to Texas for another series of gigs. And while I was in Texas, about 10 days later, my husband called me and told me that they had all those young men that we had met on our deck had perished in the Yarnell Hill fire. It was the Granite Mountain Hotshots. And,
wow.
I mean, once I was able, I mean, of course I wept and he wept and we were both, I was just stunned. And a little bit later, we moved just like half an hour or so later, I was just kind of trying to pull myself together and just kind of take it in. And I realized that's why my song wasn't done. That's the piece that it still needed. And that's why I had to put it away. So I pulled it out and I wrote and added a little bridge, not a big morbid thing or not a big long drawn out thing, but just a nod to our first responders, and that, you know, just to give them some respect and then I dedicated the album and the song and the album to the Granite Mountain Hotshots.
Wow. That is quite a story. Yeah. Quite a story. Well, let's take a listen to Granite Mountain and we'll come back and talk more with Belinda in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Rises up from the valley floor, covered with rocks and so much more, lurk between the junipers and boulders. Mountain lion, prickly pear, there is danger, be aware, and don't forget to look back over your shoulder. Cat snake and javeliner, even if you haven't seen one, they're like whispers in the shadows. The beauty, it will mesmerize, but don't forget those wary eyes, always creeping there in the hollows. Granite Mountain, oh, the silhouette we know so to straddle life between the old and the new way. Some say golden cattle drew them, all we know the mountain threw them off. Nothing left but the wild strays. market town's not far away, but it can't help you if you stay too long on the mountain in the weather. It can change upon a dime, and it will catch you every time. Snow and winter, monsoons in the summer. Heard the smoke and fire blazing down the mountainside, raging every living thing consumed before it. Blurry plains at treetops flying, hotshot crews are bravely fighting to defend our hope and our forest. Treasured beauty, don't forget your cowboy duty. Leave this mountain just the way you found her. But ride her with the watchful eye, hear rustling wind, watch eagle fly. Be mindful of the dangers that have found here. Granite Mountain, oh, the silhouette we know so well. Granite Mountain.
Title cut from the CD by the same name, and we're talking with Belinda Gale. And Belinda, this is a great CD, and of course all of your CDs are. So how can people find them? How's the best way to buy your music?
They can go to my website, which is BelindaGaleSings.com. Granite Mountain is on iTunes, so they can get that through iTunes. Or they can go to my Facebook page, Belinda Gale, and contact me directly through Facebook.
All right. And it's fun to follow Belinda on Facebook because you can see her without makeup, decorating her tree, and doing all kinds of good stuff.
So. You never know. Between what I post and what my husband posts, you're never sure what's going to show up on Facebook.
Gosh, but that's BelindaGaleSings.com is the website. You can buy all of her music there. And doggone it, real quickly, you have a big event that's an annual event that's coming up, and that's your Cowgirl True weekend.
Yes, that's March. Thank you for bringing that up, Gary. It's March 7th through the 10th, 2019, and we actually moved to a different ranch. We're going to be at a guest ranch called Rancho de la Osa, which is a very historic old, one of the oldest buildings still in continuous use is on that ranch in the state of Arizona. It's just below Tucson, and it's very hacienda, Mexican hacienda style. Wonderful trails to ride, all kinds of, we have a craft while we're there. We're going to go do shopping in Tubac and go tour an old historic ranch while we're there. It's going to be a really exciting, very, very fun 4 days. Yeah, Thursday through Sunday, and we'll wind it up with breakfast and cowboy church on the desert on Sunday before we leave. So got a great group of ladies already coming. We still have some spaces left. They can get in touch with me through my Facebook page or through you if they don't remember how to get in touch with me, because you know
All
how
right.
to get in touch with me.
I do.
I have a brochure. I can mail them.
All right. So that will be a lot of fun. And it's always fun because you do some Facebook Live from out there. So we get to see you trail riding and some of your crafts.
I do. And I put on a private concert on Saturday night for the ladies.
All right. So if you'd like to attend the Cowgirl True weekend, just contact Belinda on Facebook or give me a shout at equestrianlegacy.net and contact us there as well. So you can do that. Well, it is time for Saddle Up America. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Mr. Guy Adams, the heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California. And I think he has a special guest.
Wow, my old stomping ground.
Yeah, I think he has a special guest that's going to be joining us too. We just talked about the Sons of the San Joaquin, and I think Jack Hanna is going to be joining us. So, Belinda's.
I'll have to hang on and say hi.
That's right. Belinda's going to hang with us for just a little bit. Yeah. But we're going to take a listen to Navajo Trail, and we're going to take that Navajo Trail all the way to Clovis, California in just a moment when we return on Saddle Up America. We'll be right back.
Every day along about evening, when the sunlight's beginning to pale, I ride the slumbering shadow along the Navajo Trail. When it's night and the crickets are calling, the coyotes are making a way, fire along the Navajo Trail. Love to lie and listen to the music of the wind strumming a sagebrush guitar. Over yonder hill the moon is climbing, always finds me wishing on a star.
Equestrian Legacy Radio Network, and we're going to welcome Mr. Guy Adams, who is the director of the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California, and Belinda's going to hang with us, and I think our good friend Mr. Jack Hanna is there as well. So, hey, Guy.
Yes, sir.
How are
you? Thank you for having us. I appreciate this. I'm doing awesome.
Good to have you with us, and Jack, good to have you with us.
It's great to be here. The Heart of the Horse place is a good place to be, let me tell you.
Well, we're going to find out all about the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in just a minute. And, Belinda, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Belinda.
Hi, Jack. Jack told me all that. He's so excited about working with you guys. He's like a little kid. It's so neat, and it's always fun to talk to Jack. Always fun to talk to Jack. So I'm going to hang on.
I had no idea that I was going to get to hear you sing and talk. That's a special treat. I thought I was just going to get to talk to Gary.
No, we've got to make it worth your while, so we'll let you visit a little bit. But so, Guy, tell us a little bit about what the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch is.
Well, we're a ranch that was started by the grace of God, and we work with medically fragile children and veterans coming from war. We've been so blessed to take accident victim. I had an accident victim that we worked with, and she was in a wheelchair when I met her at the rodeo, and it took us 3 months to get her out of that wheelchair and walking. Fast forward 2 years later, she's playing softball. And we've seen many words. First words, we've had a 27-year-old say mama for the first time in his life. You know, like Jack says, it's got to be a God thing because guy's not that smart. And by gosh, he's right, you know. But we're blessed to do that. We work with, like I say, medically fragile children and veterans.
Oh, great. Great, great, great.
Yeah, we have autistic children who have never spoken a sentence. They can say yes, no, and about that's it. But when they're 12 and 13 years old and that's all they've said, and then you hear a child say, what kind of a horse is this? Is this a quarter horse? And that's the first time anyone has ever heard that child say a sentence. Now, why?
Wow.
You answer. What we have seen it happen right here. The things that I have witnessed with my own eyes has caused me at 86, I want to be here involved with this until I die, and I hope it's 106. Mm.
We do too.
Yeah. So, Guy, how long have you been in operation there?
We've been going about 8 years now, give or take a month or two. It was all started after we lost everything between 2008 and 2010. And I came out to this ranch to fix the electrical in the barn and noticed the guy was bailing on the Vicky McQuinn, who owns it, and we just put everything together and put it in prayer, and next thing I knew, my cousin sent me $10,000 from nowhere. I didn't ask him for it.
Wow.
We had one person with 10 horses, because at that point in my life, I didn't want to talk to people. I was done with my construction company and the way it got run underground, and I just didn't want to have a bunch of boarders out here. And next thing I know, I had a little girl coming to look at one of my horses with her dad. And actually, the dad was coming to look at the horse, and she was in a wheelchair. And I wouldn't let her get on the horse or pet it. I was afraid that this big old stud horse would trample her or get nervous. And, you know, and I felt convicted that night, and I went out and took our last $500 to find a horse and came home with a 5-time Arizona reigning champion and a 2-time national reigning qualifier for free.
Wow.
And we made that horse into the best therapy horse ever. What we did is at that point, it was me. What I did is I decided to train that horse the same way with the same methods I would train one of my TDI therapy dogs. And, you know, that horse has since then been in elevators, done last rite visitations on TV or on in hospitals. Yeah, we've got a video on TV that shows it. And we've just been so blessed to be here. It's just been amazing.
Gary, let me tell you something about Guy. This wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for Guy Adams. He was chosen, I think, divinely to come here. How he got here is kind of a very interesting story. But the whole thing is the way he has trained the animals. That's what's crucial. These animals are bomb-proof, and they are because of the way Guy handles them and because of his spirit. I'm a horseman myself, so I know about that. You either have the gift or you don't have it. And the horses either, they either cotton to you or they don't. And you have to have the right spirit. And I'll tell you, Guy Adams has got it. And not only that, I've never seen anybody in my life that can work with people as beautifully as Guy Adams can do it. I'll tell you, he better stay here.
No point in going nowhere.
Yeah, he better stay here.
Unless my wife throws me up, she's in the back seat, and I haven't heard her say anything yet.
Oh, he's trained her real well, too.
No.
She's trained me.
So, Guy, do you operate with, do you have several volunteers that are involved in the therapy program there?
Well, what we do is we utilize Fresno State. We usually use throughout the year about 70 volunteers.
Sanger.
Mm-hmm.
Sanger. I am.
Reed Leaf College.
I am a volunteer myself. My wife is the only paid employee. Excuse me. We live off of $1,700 a month. We've not made this about money or getting rich, but yet we live a lot richer than we ever have. We're actually getting ready to start construction on an old mansion that Bob Gallo owns, and we're going to house up to 10 veterans in there, do a dog and horse training program there, totally different mm-hmm. property. We're going to start buying this property, put a cover over the arena, take the one end of the barn and make it a therapy room, and take 5 acres of this property and make it a sensory trail, sight, smell, touch, sound, for kids and veterans with traumatic brain injury. You know, God just kind of put this all on our hearts, and we're just going for it.
Yeah.
And our
wow.
goal is to have the best. It's,
wow.
We are going to have the best horse therapy program in America, let me tell you.
We've been pretty blessed, and people are starting to take notice. We've had a small blurb in the Wall Street Journal. We've been in Stars and Stripes magazine. We've had people come from Ireland with their autistic daughter so we could teach her a little bit about the Western culture. We've
uh-huh.
been on many TV stations, many radio stations. We've been the California Nonprofit of the Year. We were the California Image Award winners with Levi Strauss and Knott's Berry Farm. We've won
wow.
an award for 5 Fresno County that only doctors have won. We, my wife and I were put in the Clovis Hall of Fame. And I'm not telling you this to brag. It's just that people are taking notice to what we're doing and the results that we are getting. And they're amazed. I sat down with a group of therapist at Children's Hospital in Central California and did a question and answer. 2 weeks later, we had horses on site working with cancer, with kids with cancer.
Wow.
Now we do an annual thing where we go out there a few times a year and we work with just about any kid that can come out. And then we also work with amputees. And then we've been to other hospitals where we've gone and worked with kids who have recently lost a parent and
oh, wow.
Been able to show them, you know, through an animal such as a horse or a therapy dog, you know, how their lives can be changed and how, you know, their lives aren't over. And it's just been amazing to me how this works. But when you look back, the Romans were doing this, and we've just put our own twist on it. And you know, like I say, we could take a child that can't sit up in a wheelchair and get him to sit up on a horse
yeah,
and build strength.
The Romans weren't taking people on an elevator up in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, we
you
took
know,
a horse in an elevator.
Taking them into the bedroom and have the horse come in and so the lady or the person could breathe the horse's breath. Can you believe
yeah.
I want to breathe the horse's breath before I die? And so so Bandit goes right up the elevator, you get right up, walks down the hallway. You have to walk into the room and back out. You can't turn around. He has to back out. These horses will blow your mind, Gary.
Wow,
mm.
wow.
Because they are they're well trained.
Because of the training, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
Guy, how long do children stay in the program? Do they have, do you run sessions or just any
yeah,
time?
We do one rider at a time, one child at a time. We don't do group sessions, but
okay.
we do. They sign up for 8 sessions. They sign up for 8 sessions, and if there's something we see, we may keep them a little bit longer. But 8 sessions, and then they go back on our waiting list. The reason we don't do groups is because if Belinda was missing a limb and you had traumatic brain injury, we can't be telling her something and teaching that horse to leg over with whatever she has to use while we're doing something totally different with you because you have a traumatic brain injury. That stuff, it just becomes a big noise, and there's stuff that's lost. It's not, it's not conducive to helping anybody when we do it that way. So when we do get this place bought, we will make separate riding areas, and we'll do more than one at a time. But, we don't ever ask anybody for money. We've never, the doctor that had me go out to Children's, I got her son's first word out, and she says, "Guy, you've never asked me for anything. You've never asked me what I do for a living, and I can afford to pay you." And she told me what she did, and I said, "Well, I'm going to ask you for something." And she got this smirk. I think she thought I was going to ask her for $10,000 or something. And I said, "I just want to sit down with your rehab specialist and talk about what we do." So we've not made this about money. We've made it about actually helping people.
Yeah. Well, that is absolutely great. That is absolutely great. Well, I want to take just a real quick break. And when I come back, I want to find out from Jack how he got involved in all of this. But, there is a special magic that takes place. And a lot of times people are out rescuing horses. But quite often it's the human that is saved rather than the horse. And so this is a great song from a good friend of ours, Mary Ann Kennedy. It's one called "Who Saved Who?" And I think that's a good question to ask. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Guy and Jack Hanna on Saddle Up America.
Looking for someone to call your own. Then right before your eyes, an open heart wants to be your home. Unwanted, unneeded, now there is love.
Who saved who to the world at
And we are talking with Guy Adams, who's the director of the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California, along with our good friend, Mr. Jack Hanna of the famous Sons of the San Joaquin. And Jack, how did you get involved in this program?
It was easy. A mother who had two sons involved in the program asked me if I would go out and vet the place. And I said, where's the place? And she told me, and of course I know the area real well here. So I came out and I called first, and I had permission to get in, because you have to have a combination to get in. And
okay.
I came and I watched. Now, I watched one day, and then I went home and come back and watched another day. And either that or the third day, I walked up to Guy Adams, who I didn't really know, and I said, I'm going to be on your board. I'm going to be on your board of directors. And I want to be on it as long as I'm alive. And the reason I said that was because of what I saw taking place, what I saw in the lives of the special needs children and adults. And when I came in contact with a little guy named Adam, who was in a wheelchair, and he was 12 years old, he had been drowned when he was a baby, dead. And they resuscitated him to life, and he had brain damage, lesions on his brain. And, of course, he was a baby, and he had never crawled, Gary, so his hips never joined. So he was in the wheelchair from then on until the day I saw him and got acquainted with him. And because he's enamored with the cowboy, he and I bonded real tight. And he wanted to be a cowboy, like he called me Cowboy Jack. And what we found out, though, was that as he was involved with the horse with his feet in the stirrups and his weight in the feet, what you're supposed to do when you ride a horse, his hips joined.
Oh, wow.
His hips had never joined. Now his hips had joined. Well, just about, how long was it, a year or two after that he ran in the Special Olympics?
Yeah, it was about a year.
He hadn't walked for 12 years, lived in a wheelchair, and 2 years after I met him, I was out on the stage entertaining, beginning to sing something. And I was talking about Adam. I was talking about him, what he meant to me.
Uh-huh.
And what and Gary, listen, it's not just what the Heart of the Horse means to the special needs child. It's what the Heart of the Horse means to the parents.
Yes.
And to the grandparents.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
one of the parents departs. He don't want anything to do with it. And so
right.
it's the mother having to take the brunt, and the grandparents. And to see what happens in their life because they see what kind of a change it's making in their grandson or their son's life. Well, while I was talking about Adam, Guy asked me to, he spoke to me from behind and said, look over here, Jack. And I looked over my shoulder and here came Adam out on the stage walking.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Okay.
In a walker.
In a walker, yeah. But he, you know,
but still,
you've got to go to a walker first, right?
That's right.
That's right.
And another situation which I was not privy of, but it happened, and I want to tell you about it. A little boy, I think he was around 10 or 12 years old, too, and he had never spoken other than the primary words like no, yes, no. And he came to sign up, and while they were signing kids up, he had disappeared. And so his mother said, well, I don't know where he went. And so Adam, a guy, began to look for him. And he found him in the round pen with a horse.
Oh,
the kid had got
oh.
into the round pen and was standing at the horse's face, right in front of the horse's nose, looking up at the horse. And Guy says, Charlie, I'll call him Charlie, what are you doing in here? You're not supposed to be in here. You're supposed to be over there. And the little boy looked at him and said, what kind of horse is this?
Oh, wow.
Is this a quarter horse?
Oh, wow.
One eye is blue and one eye is brown. Now, his mother walked up while he was doing that, and she just fell apart. Okay,
yeah.
Explain that one to me. explain that. You can't explain it. That's why the heart of the horse is so great. And you know something? I've been riding horses. I'm 86. I've been riding horses for a long time, working cattle, roping steers, branding, and all that kind of stuff. I think about what the horse has done for me.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable what the horse means to a guy like myself. Well, think of what it means to these children and these veterans, by the way. We're seeing things with the veterans, too, that just blow our minds. That's why I've been involved with it.
Well, it is such a worthy cause. And, you know, as you're talking about these kids, it reminds me of a stepson that I had. And he was autistic. And so I would take him out with me to ride. And I remember one day we had a horse in the round pen, and I said, would you like to ride about four times around the ring? And so we did. And when we stopped, he said, how about 22 more times? And so he just had connected with that horse in such a short period of time. And it really makes a difference in people's lives when they can do that. So, and the same
becomes a permanent fixture in their life.
Yeah.
That their
yeah.
horse becomes a permanent fixture in their life as they grow older.
Yeah.
Not just and here on the ranch.
Yeah, and the same way with the children is the veterans, because I know it has such an effect on them, but also on their families who have become disconnected. You know, sometimes the service person has become disconnected with his family. It can do so much to bring them all back together again. So I think that's absolutely wonderful.
I can give you an example of that if we have a little time. I'll do it quick.
Sure.
But I had a family, they were living in the Oleanders off the freeway, and a veterans group came out and helped them. They came out here, and we discovered that one of their daughters was autistic. And they had literally sold everything and drove from back east and ended up with a dead car in Fresno, California. So I asked the mother not to come back with the baby, just let me work with their autistic daughter and their and let Mike, the dad, bring her. And so we were able to show this child joy again. But the goal wasn't just to show her joy. The goal was to show the father what he was missing and why anger and drugs and alcohol needed to get out of his life. And we have a picture of this young lady with her arms in the air and this big old smile. And you know what? He pulled it together, and you know, for the sake of his daughter.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying he's the world's best father now, but by gosh, you know, he's not doing drugs or, you know, an alcoholic or anything.
Alcohol.
So,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing what a difference that these horses can make in the service person's life as well as the children. And doggone it, that's pretty cool stuff. Pretty cool stuff.
Oh yeah. So, yeah, we've got another like Dave Stamey's involved with us now. You know. And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, we're pretty blessed. We've got some heavy hitters on our board and also supporting us, and it's just a blast.
Well, I was going to ask because, you know, none of this happens for free, even though the services that you offer to these children or these adults is free. So how can people get involved if they're listening to the show and would like to make some kind of a contribution or become involved in some other way with Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch?
Well, they can go to our website and make a donation there. It's Heart of the Horse. HeartOfTheHorses.org, or they can give us a call at 559-297-7100 for information. They can find us on Facebook and message us there. You're right. We've not made this about money, but we still spend $30,000 a year on alfalfa. And last year alone, we spent almost $16,000 on medical for it was probably our most extreme year But it happened, you know. And thank goodness people were, you know, willing to step up and help us, you know. So, like I said, we haven't made this about money. We've made this truly about helping people and truly helping the horses that we have and giving them a second chance at career. Most of our horses have had some kind of career, and you know, they're not going into rescues. They're coming here, and they're doing something for the rest of their life that they love.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of goes back to that song we were talking about, Who Saved Who?
Exactly.
And so it works for the horses as well as for the children and for the servicemen and women that you're
Amen.
Servicing. Yeah. So you can visit them on Facebook. That's Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch. And also visit their website. And I bet you, if they can't remember all of that, if they'll just Google Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, they're going to find
yep.
you as well. So, yeah it's amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I mention that we do have our annual concert coming up in March, and it'll be with Jack Hanna and Dave Stamey, March 28th at People's Church in Fresno, California. It's going to be a great time.
Well, I was going to ask, with such talented people that are involved, if you don't do some events during the course of the year. And so I'm glad to find that Jack and Dave are going to be participating in that. And I know Belinda would love to get involved as well. She had to get off.
Awesome.
She had,
we'd love to have her, too. Yeah.
Yeah, she had company that was visiting.
She'd go over big here. Everybody knows Belinda Gale out here, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Well, it is a great program that you put in place, and the way that this all started is pretty amazing, but isn't it amazing how God works through people?
Yes, it is. Amen.
Circumstances. Yeah. 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 Well, fellas, thank you for sharing with us today, and that's the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California. We've been talking with, and by the way, Guy, I noticed on your Facebook page that it says unpaid director, and so I think that's pretty
awesome. That's right.
I think that is pretty awesome. So go like Guy on Facebook, go like Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch on Facebook and visit their website. Get involved just like Jack Hanna has. And it can be pretty addictive to be able to do so much good, can it, Jack?
Amen, boy. You're not kidding. We're just hoping that the message gets out to people and men who are wealthy, who want to invest in something. When they leave this earth, they will know that what they've left behind is one of the most richest things they could have ever done in their life. And when you see what happens in the lives of these children and the military men too, these veterans, then you know you realize that what you're doing is probably the Jesus said, "And as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it unto me." And that's the
Amen.
Way we look at it. We really believe that Jesus is involved with us in a big way. And he's going to see us through on these visions that we have.
Well, absolutely. And when you see children like Adam that you were talking about just a minute ago and
yes,
the kind of difference it's made in their lives, you know it is as worthwhile a thing as you could possibly do. But anyway, great information. Thank you for sharing with us. And Guy, thanks for reaching
thank you,
out
Gary.
And letting me know about this.
Oh, so, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
You're
it.
Very welcome. You are very welcome. So thanks so much, and well, thank you. You know, it's been a while since you've been on the show, Jack, so we'll have to have you come back and play some more of the Sons of the San Joaquin.
Yes.
But anyway.
Well, there's a six CD in there, and you've got me.
Well, thank you guys
yeah, well,
so
we're
much.
Making a lot, we're making hay out here, and I'll sing anywhere a guy wants me to sing to do what we want to do, because we have a vision. Guy has a vision. And he's passed it on to all of us. And I'll tell you, it's a wonderful vision, and God's going to see it through. I'm convinced.
Well, God bless you guys for what you're doing and for all of the folks that are involved, the volunteers, and of course, the children and the adults that are benefiting from this type of program. So
Amen.
Thank you guys so much for being with us.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. It has been a good show today. Belinda Gale always is so much fun to talk with, and it was certainly enjoyable talking with Jack Hanna and Guy Adams from the Heart of the Horse Therapy Ranch in Clovis, California. We mentioned before, this is our last show of this year, but we're coming back next week and starting off a brand new year. We wish all of you the best in the coming year, and our co-host will be back with us in January. She's going to take off a couple of weeks and enjoy her family, so we look forward to having Bobby Jean Bell back with us as soon as she can. But we certainly appreciate you for listening, and be sure to tune in next week beginning at noon Central Standard Time for the Campfire Cafe, and then followed by Saddle Up America on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand. We're going to close out the show today with a great song from our friend in Canada, Mr. Ryan Fritz. It's one called Jingle Up, and we'll be back with you next week. Thanks for listening.
Well, a saddle up old Tess gonna jingle up. Yes, a saddle up old Tess gonna jingle up. With a snort and a whistle, a big old blow, to the rocks in the dark we go. I hope them broncs are close to jingle up. Now I snub the commies, I rode at the jingle up. Yes, I smell the commies and rode at the jingle up. That cookie makes it strong and black. I hope there's still enough. I'm gonna have me a big old cup once I jingle up. So jingle up, big Bermuda, jingle up, jingle, jingle, jingle up, jingle up, sweet Bermuda, jingle up. They stand like statues in the dark. I hope this mare's gonna do her part. Show me where they are and jingle up. Bridles and robes for me. The boys are waiting with their bridles and robes on me. Standing round the big old gate, I hope these colts don't make them wait. No one wants to be late, so jingle up. The sparks are flying, the leaders are trying me. Sparks are flying and the leaders are running me. I cuss and herd them through the haze and take me around all over the place. This mare sure likes to chase and to jingle up. Jingle up, big Bermuda, jingle up, jingle, jingle, jingle up, jingle up, sweet Bermuda, jingle up. The same thing happens every day by the crack of dawn or 5 miles away. I wish they'd learn to hang and jingle up. Well, jingle up, big Bermuda, jingle up, jingle, jingle, jingle up, well, jingle up, wild Bermuda, jingle up. Well, the same thing happens every day by the crack of dawn or 5 miles away. I wish they'd learn to hang and jingle up. Why is it always my turn to jingle up?